I want to spend some time today with you thinking about the subject of heaven and blessing. And as we consider communion service together and share around this table, let us be reminded that communion is a blessed event. It's an opportunity to be a blessing to others, to recognize the blessings that we have with the Lord. And I'm going to give to you today, if the Lord allows, a few verses from the book of Revelation that'll give you a sense of what the purpose of the book of Revelation is. We usually turn to this book and desire to find in the book of Revelation the prophecies. What's God going to do? What's He planned to bring about? And what I want to encourage you to understand is that throughout the book of Revelation, peppered through the book of Revelation, are statements of blessing, which is like the Beatitudes of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, where He says, Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, the book of Revelation uses this statement, blessed are the. And in about seven places, we find it in the book of Revelation. So whether you understand the prophecy or not, or where prophecy is going, or perhaps you might be confused with the book, I want you to at least be able to come to these verses and say, wow, God has blessed me. Among Christians, we often say, be blessed, or blessings upon you. Steve Reed, some of you will remember from when I first came to the church, would end all of his emails with this little phrase, or little word, blessings, and then his name. Blessings, and his name. Blessings, and his name. And you may say in your prayer times, Lord, bless somebody. What are you saying? What is that blessing? What is being communicated? And I trust that as you prepare your heart for communion today, as a result of being in the book of Revelation, that you'll be able to say, wow, how blessed am I to be invited to this table. We know that communion is not something to be shared just indiscriminately with the world, because the invitation is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are washed in His blood, to those who are born again, to those who understand what communion is about. There is to be a communing among believers and a communing with our Heavenly Father. And what is it that allows us to come in a worthy manner into the presence of God? I believe it's a healthy understanding of the blessings that God gives. So there are seven times in the book of Revelation where you find this statement, blessed are the. And let us turn first to chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 of the book of Revelation. The first beatitude. Chapter 1, verse 3 reads, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. I believe, first of all, we find that there is we're blessed for being a person of the book. You come to the communion table and you say, why am I blessed? What do I need to be thankful for? God says we're to be people of the book. And Revelation states that at the very beginning, at the outset. How blessed, how happy, how joyful are those who read the book and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Well, believers, how often do we say, I can't wait for the Lord's return? Maybe it's today. We're going to find in the book of Revelation that there's that sense of imminency. However, it's the end of the epoch or the end of the era. The time really is near. In the grand scheme of eternity, the time is near. Our life is a vapor. It vanishes so quickly. There is really not much time in our lives before we know it. And it's one of those reminders of that old song, you know, that talks about you turn once and you see your daughter as a baby and you turn again and the daughter is grown up and you turn again and she has her own babies and you can't understand where did the time go. Imagine that's where Randy and Lana are right now. It's an amazing thing to think in terms of how fast time goes. Well, the time is near. The Lord's return is near. And communion is that reminder that every time we gather around the communion table, that God may come before the next opportunity to share in communion. So our lives need to be right. So blessed are those who are people of the book. If you're a person of the Word of God, and you allow the Word of God to touch your heart and instruct you, and you remain in it, and you abide there. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's interesting here is that when it says, blessed are those who read, and blessed are those who hear, The churches would gather and they'd sit down and just read scripture. A letter would come from Paul, a copy of the letter from Paul. And the church would gather together and they'd hear the word read for the first time. They would hear some of those great old verses that we've heard since Sunday school. And their hearts would be lifted up. Blessed are those who are people of the book. Well, if you want to understand Revelation, there you have it. Blessed are those who are people of the book. That's where it starts. Let me take you to another passage. And that's in chapter 14. Chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. Now, a lot is happening in prophecy by the time you get here. You know, the rapture of the church has taken place. The believers who have been removed are rejoicing in the presence of God. We think in terms of the rewards for saints. It's in preparation for His ultimate coming, the Battle of Armageddon, and the Millennial Kingdom being established. Here in chapter 14, persecutions are happening on the earth. God will save 144,000 Jews. They will be Jewish virgins, 12,000 from each tribe. God will save them and mark them, and they will go about in the world and give the gospel out. People will be getting saved, but persecution will be heavily upon them, and people will be dying. And this verse that we're going to come to is one of those great encouragements that God doesn't forget us. Revelation 14:13. Here we're going to be finding blessed, we're blessed for steadfast service. Chapter 14, verse 13. Let's go back to verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works, their activities follow them. What a great statement that is. Verse 12 says patience. And we see that word and we think, you know, the patience of Job or, you know, a mother who has patience with little children. But it's not exactly that. This is that doctrine that says there is perseverance for the saints. It's one of those proof texts that God, when He saves you, when He gets a hold of your life, won't let go. He won't forget you. And when you look at the verses in the preceding context, there is judgment and there is destruction and there are people dying and going to hell, and yet there's this group that God saves. And He says, these people are the ones who persevere, no matter what the persecution is, no matter what the critical time will be, and there will be critical times. The call for the believer is to persevere. The call for the believer is to persevere in Christ and serve in Him. And that's what it says in verse 13. Blessed are those, or the dead, who die in the Lord. Reminding us of what Paul says. In Christ we, in Christ I, in Christ I have been. And so he's talking about that being in the sphere of Christ, being surrounded in His love, being drawn into the family of God. Believers, when we say you be blessed, we're talking about some very, very special doctrines, especially from the book of Revelation. Blessed because we're people of the book, be in the Word. Blessed because of steadfast service, perseverance of the saints. You know, it is a blessing the older I get in the Lord to be able to look back and see where God has taken me and see things that have happened in my life. Good things, bad things, but God's been there. That's a blessing of growing older. Young people, you don't quite know that yet, but it's coming. This week, however, could be a real cool time of blessing. It'll be something you look back on. And so that steadfast service. You get tired, you get weary, you get the kids that you don't want to get, but you stay steadfast. That steadfastness in the things of God, blessed for steadfast service. And that's the cool thing about the end of verse 13. Their works follow them. God remembers what's been done for Him, but it's also those activities, those things you love to do for Him, that follow along as well. Let me take you to chapter 16, the third area of blessing, a beatitude in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Now we're looking at further things happening. If you look at your Bible and there is some kind of a note, back before verse 12 it says, the sixth bowl, the Euphrates, dried up. You've got to understand that when a 1,700-mile river dries up and there's a whole army of people from the east that can come to create havoc in the west and have no encumbrances, it's an amazing thing. There's going to be a lot of struggles going on. And this is just before the Battle of Armageddon, where the forces of the anti-God, who appears to be some sort of a ruler over the old Roman Empire, and the forces of the East that never come under his control. There's never another one world leader in prophecy. There's never another one until Jesus Christ rules in the kingdom age, the millennial kingdom. We may have our suspicions, we may have our fears. You hear about the Antichrist, he's going to try. But in prophecy there, he will not rule all the world. And that's what sets the stage for those people coming from the East, the children of the East, whether India, whether China, coming to do battle towards the Valley of Megiddo, meaning the Valley of Slaughter there in Israel. And apparently the forces of the anti-God will converge upon that location. And in the midst of that conflict, after all these persecutions have been going on, as well as the trumpet judgments and the vile judgments and those things that are being poured out on the earth in the Great Tribulation, that's when Christ comes with the church, with the saints, and is victorious over the forces of this earth, and then institutes the millennial kingdom. So in the middle of all of those things, can you imagine being a believer who has been saved during the tribulation, and you're just struggling? Well, we've had a verse back in chapter 14, verse 1 in chapter 1, be a person of the book. He's going to need to be that. Chapter 14, you know, God doesn't forget what you do for him, persevere. Chapter 16, we come to this verse in verse 15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. This is where we have blessed for holy preparedness. Being blessed for holy preparedness. We know that they need to be prepared because the Lord will return in a moment, in an instant, and they don't know when that will be. Believers in our day and age looking for the rapture, the Lord's going to return in a moment, in an instant, and we don't know when that's going to be. This is very applicable for us. We need to keep our eyes open and to keep his garments, lest he walk naked and see and they see his shame. In other words, be holy and be prepared. There are critical times that we face today. Not as critical as this passage we're reading. It's not going to be near like that. But they'll be critical nonetheless. We're born for such a time as this. Our job is to be faithful. Holy preparedness even in this time. Chapter 19, verse 9 is the next beatitude that we'll find. Chapter 19, verse 9. This is in the context of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, in the Old Testament, Jehovah's bride, his wife, is Israel. God's wife is Israel. It's that relationship, that covenantal relationship. In the New Testament, we find that the church is the bride of the bridegroom, who's Jesus Christ. So there will be this special event that takes place. And as we look at our text of Scripture, we're looking at a story that tells us that there is coming a day when the church, as if it was a bride, is coming to its wedding. Now, does the church get invited to that? Does the bride get invited to her own wedding? Have you ever gotten an invitation, brides, to your own wedding? No. But what you will find is in the tribulation era, there are some who will be invited. Those are the ones who get saved in that tribulation time. They'll be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when you really think about the stories in the book of in the Gospels, John the Baptist seems to be like the best man of this whole thing, ushering in that church age. And you have the saints of the Old Testament who are the invited guests. And you have the saints of the tribulation era who are attendants to this because they'll be saved after the church has been removed from the earth. But the church is the bride of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. That's why Ephesians talks about having your garments white and spotless. Because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a very special thing to think about, the representation we have here. You know, there are some of you who are the miracles, the displays of the purity of Christ in Colonial Beach. There are some of you who are miracles, who are displays of the gospel of Jesus Christ in King George. There are some of you who are displays of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Phillipsburg and in Easton. And so everywhere the believer goes, you are going in a garment of white, the splendor of the fact that you are betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In their day, weddings were unique. They're not like ours. They would become betrothed, and as far as the society looked at upon them, this couple, they were already contracted together in marriage. And so from betrothal all the way through to their wedding and for the rest of their days, they were thought of as married. Believers, we haven't been raptured into glory yet. You may think that there are some adjustments that you can make, you know, to this relationship with God. Maybe you can choose your own way, but wait a minute, you've been betrothed. When you trust Christ as Savior, you're betrothed to Jesus Christ. You're His. And there's that arrangement of purity that's supposed to be a part of our lives. Communion is one of those opportunities of saying, am I keeping my garment pure? Look at chapter 19, and we'll look at verse 9. Let's go back to verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters. It's not my voice today. And as the sound of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Believers, it has been granted to you to be arrayed in fine linen. In the previous chapter, there is the great harlot story. And the clothing is nothing like this. A bride's clothing is unique. Believers, your clothing is unique. Fine linen, clean and bright. There's that brightness and purity. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Engendered by God. God does them through you. But that's why I said there are miracles. We're going to go back to Colonial Beach today. Miracles that are here in King George. The acts of the saints. That clothing of the church. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Well, though we are not the ones being called at that time, you are called to salvation in this epoch, this era. You're called. So there are blessings. Blessings of being a person of the book, blessed for being steadfast in service, blessed for holy preparedness. And listen to this, blessed for being included. Blessings upon you. Bless them, Lord. Blessings for being included. That invitation. You've been invited to be a special person in the presence of God. Let me take you to chapter 20, just a couple more. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed for entering His kingdom. Chapter 20, verse 6. Let me take you back to verse 4, and this is fascinating. If you underline how many times the word 1,000 appears, you will realize this 1,000 is something God intends us to know about. The millennial kingdom is not a nebulous time, it is 1,000 years. And in case you didn't get it, you see it about 5, 6, 7 times in just these verses. We'll just see a couple of them here. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or His image, and had not received His mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired. You know, you hear that 1,000 so many times, you say, okay, God, I get it. It's 1,000 years. That's the millennial kingdom. But what's fascinating in our passage of Scripture is that there's a blessing, a blessedness that believers share. And that's the blessedness that you don't have to fear the second resurrection or that second death. That second death is related to being sent to hell for eternity. You'll find different resurrections being talked about in Scripture. The resurrections for those who know the Lord are being raised up to serve Him, raised up to joy and service for Him. And then there's a resurrection of all the rest that will happen someday. The resurrection is a great assize where they stand in front of God in the great white throne judgment. There is no Savior. There's no possibility of a Savior. But there they stand before God, and the books are opened, the books of records. The Lamb's Book of Life, their name does not appear. They're not born again. They're not saved. And so they are there having lived, having died without Christ, not in Christ. So that second resurrection, which for them is a resurrection unto punishment, is one you don't want to be included in. How blessed we are that we're included in the first resurrection. That quality of the first resurrection, that connection of the first resurrection unto eternal life and service for Him, never to be judged again. We say, be blessed. we tell people to be blessed or blessings upon you. What do we mean? First resurrection blessings. You come to the communion table, that's an opportunity to be reminded of first resurrection blessings. He's the first fruit, isn't he, of those who will be raised through his great work of redemption. Resurrection blessings. Chapter 22, our last chapter to turn to. Chapter 22, verses 7 and 14 are two of them. And isn't it wonderful that there are blessings here? The Old Testament ends with the word curse. Did you ever notice that? The end of Malachi, the last word is curse. Isn't that true of what the law does? You can't beat the law. But through grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, there are blessings. And it's great that the book of Revelation has these two blessed statements in them at the very last chapter. And of course, it's starting to relate stories about heaven, what heaven is like. So look with me, if you will, to verse 6. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." Now listen to this. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." We're back again to that idea of being people of the book, but we're blessed for being always ready. We're keeping those words. He's coming quickly. That is a hard thing to remember, isn't it? He's coming quickly. When we were kids, my dad and mom used to leave us at home, my brother and I, and he'd say, "Be good." And there was only one car in the household, and they'd go out and go grocery shopping. "We'll be back in an hour." What do boys do when they know there's an hour? But then when there's, we'll mess around until the last 5 minutes, right? And then what happens when they kind of stretch it out another half hour? What are boys going to do? Well, they're going to come. But as time goes by, we get a little bit less interested in the fact that they're coming because we're waiting. Nothing's happened. We know they're coming. And you know how much trouble you can get into as time just continues to expand. Well, the reminder for the church age saint is, "Behold, I am coming." Don't forget that. So always be ready. Be prepared. And there's a blessedness in this. Blessings upon you. Blessings of preparation. Living life for God, based upon the Word of God. And that takes us to verse 14, which is the last one. Let's go back to verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly." And we looked at 1,000, and we know that he repeated himself for a reason. There's a reason to notice it. And so in chapter 22, he repeats himself, "I'm coming quickly." You may not think so, and it may not appear so. "I have a plan, but I am coming quickly." Our life is so short. "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." One of the great things about heaven is the absence of sin. God brings us into his heaven, into his place of service. God brings us into that place of joy and blessing. Be ready. Follow his commands. Why? Because his rewards are with him. "I'm coming quickly," he says. I took you through these verses to give you a sense of the book of Revelation, to see some of the impact of what its design is. And though I haven't given you all the prophecies. There's no prophecy in this. However, why is the book there? Because there is an encouragement to be people who are blessed. Never grow discouraged without looking at the blessings God has given. Blessings that you're included, how that lifts the soul. Blessings that you're a person of the book, how that gives you a light for your path. Blessings that God's coming quickly, be ready. And then you don't have to second guess. We come to the communion table and we encourage you to prepare your heart. But if we were living godly, we wouldn't have to worry about that, would we? Because we'd have no business that's unfinished with God or with others. So God gives us the opportunity to stop and take notice of our circumstances and see what God has done. Are you indeed included in the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you indeed living like you're a miracle right where God has planted you? Are your clothes pure? Are they the works of a saint of God as a bride of the bridegroom? Are you living in the Word? Are you enjoying it when it's read? Are you studying it? Are you anticipating the Lord's return? I've tried to give you a few things to think about as you prepare your heart to gather around the communion table. So let's take a few minutes and bow, and then we'll be turning to a hymn as our deacons will prepare to the communion table. So let's bow in the quietness of the hearts and worship God. Father, this is our invitation time, and it is the time where you speak to our hearts and challenge us. And Father, whatever it is that you are ministering to hearts, where you're pointing out needs, pointing out the soul's thirst, pointing out the coldness and the deadness, I pray that the worship that each individual has shared with you and bowed before you would be sweet to your nostrils, that it would be a joy to your heart, and that you will minister to their needs. Father, where repentance is being sought with tears, I pray that you'll wipe away the tears and restore them. Where the soul is being reminded of the simple truths of the Word of God, I pray that they will grasp them. And where the soul has been thirsting and hungry, may they grasp the Word of God as if it's food for the soul and something that will sustain them. Father, I pray for the believers that are here assembled as we prepare for the communion table. May we indeed come in a worthy manner with joy upon our hearts, looking forward to the return of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.